I don't speak French.
It is time to talk wine. Message in the Bottle, brought to you each week at this time by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company at 86 Hammond Street in Bangor and Crossroads Beverage Company, 66 Main Street in Newport, right behind Rite Aid and just off the Moosehead Trail. Eric Meehan joining us here in studio, still recovering, and the wine helping.
The wine helps me ignore it, I suppose. Yeah. No, everybody's had the plague last week.
Yeah.
We were sans rich. I don't speak French. But we had a good time anyway. We tried our hardest without
you.
So everybody's had the plague, and my family has certainly not escaped it. But hopefully we're all coming out of it now.
I hope so, and I hope this does not affect your singing.
No. Well, that's so. Yeah, I was just saying. Yeah, we're and to a shameless plug, but I'll be singing in the Bangor Symphony's La Boheme in late April, and so I was practicing that kind of hardcore, perhaps a little more than I should have, and just before I came over here, because I always practice classical music before I appear on Downtown.
Well, we all do.
Yeah. It's
every day we have a little medley here in studio.
It's got to be a beautiful thing. I'm sad to have missed it.
Before we start on this week, how did the wine dinner go?
The wine dinner was very nice. Chef Trevor, as per usual, outdid himself. One doesn't often go on, and you know, the pea puree that accompanied the crispy chicken thigh, crispy sin chicken thigh, but it was like the best pea puree I've ever had. What does this mean? But it means that Chef Trevor is awesome, and Seasons is super lucky to have him. And definitely midway through course three or four, I was begging him to do another, actually appropriately enough for what we're going to be doing tonight, German wine dinner. Mm-hmm. We've got some really, really cool pre-order wines from Germany coming in the next couple months, which we'll be featuring here on Downtown down the line as well. But to bring things back into focus for today, so this month we are talking about wine closures, and that's not a reference to a wine, you know, seeking finality on a bad relationship or something like that. This is how are we closing up that bottle of wine? And so last week we did traditional cork, and we talked about the pluses and minuses of traditional cork, and of course trichloroanisole, that nasty chemical that's in a lot of cork, between 1% and 7%, that will make wine smell and taste really, really rank. So we're moving on today to the most apparent and most popular alternative method, and that is the dreaded screw cap. And I looked up, we had referenced this before, but one of my favorite episodes of the old sitcom Night Court, the gentleman, the maitre d' at the hotel, is saying something to Dan Fielding, the Lothario lawyer, saying, "Chateau Libido isn't one of our usual selections. Shall I unscrew it for you?" And it was a joke. It was funny. But today, it's on an awful lot of wines that you find, and not just inexpensive wines. There are some wineries, including a lot of German wineries, and which is one of the reasons I chose the German Riesling that we're going to be tasting today, but also some American wineries, South African wineries, Australian wineries that have really struck a blow for the screw cap, and are putting some really age-worthy expensive wines in screw cap. One obvious reason that people are using screw cap is to rid themselves of the threat of trichloroanisole and that threat of corkage. However, TCA can also live in things like cardboard, and so occasionally, really occasionally, you can have an infection of TCA in a screw cap wine. It's super rare, but I've seen it happen over my career, but like once. So it's pretty rare. But you can also have wine cases that stink like TCA, so just make sure that you're not like pulling something out of a wine case, you know, like those cardboard cases. Those can be pretty bad too. So why screw cap? So 97-ish% of all wine is made to be consumed young, tonight, you know, this month, next month, but soon, not aged for 10, 15, 25 years. So the obvious answer, because it is less expensive and because you're not going to risk contaminating your wine in any way, is for a lot of producers to just do that. It makes super fiscal sense. You know that everything you're sending out the door won't come back to you in sort of back charges because, as I mentioned last week, and I'd love to reiterate, any good wine merchant will take back a corked bottle, provided there's some liquid in there so we can prove it was corked, guys. and refund your money or give you a like bottle. That's very common practice because we know we can then sort of back credit ourselves up the line, and this is very common. So those winemakers don't want that happening, obviously. Mm. They want the profits to stay in the bank or however they've chosen to spend them. So you're seeing that a lot, but there are a lot of winemakers that are putting more expensive wines in. Why? Can a wine age, indeed, without cork? And the answer is still sort of up in the air. There is oxygen in the bottle, what we call the eulage, which is that little gap between where the wine stops and where the seal starts. And that is perhaps enough for slow oxygen transfer. There's also usually some oxygen trapped in the wine from the, putting it in the bottle, rather. It's possible, but we haven't reached the stage, unfortunately, where a lot of those really great wines that have been put in the bottle are 30, 40, 50 years old, so we can really get a gauge. But the results are intriguing and enough, especially German producers, and we talked a little bit about Riesling, and we'll talk a little bit more about it today, is the most ageable of grapes. And so these guys are really banking a lot on their reputation and saying, yeah, buy this bottle of wine. When you drink it in 20 years, 30 years, it's going to be as magnificent as if I had used cork. So without further ado, let's taste the wine. Well, the wine we have today is August Kessler's, what he calls in America his R Riesling, but it's their estate Riesling. It's dry, but like a lot of German Rieslings, it has just a touch of sort of tropical sweetness, just a little bit on the finish. A very, very pretty wine.
Oh, wow.
It's great delicious. With a lot of things, very, very smooth and also very affordable. I think it's $16.99 on the shelf, which is great. And this is the sort of wine where a lot of people say, I drink a little bit of wine and then I'll have the bottle the next night or two nights or three nights. German Rieslings, because of the level of acidity and usually a little bit of that residual sugar, can keep nicely for a little while.
Well, I wanted to ask you that, too. Is there a difference if you have a bottle and you open it between a bottle that's corked and a bottle that has the screw top? Obviously, neither will have a great life expectancy once they're open, but is there a pronounced difference?
There wouldn't be in particular, because what's going to oxidize the wine is the amount of oxygen. So you can see for the four of us that we have here in studio, we poured about half that bottle, right? And we poured, basically a swallow plus for each of us, depending on how large a swallow is for each of us. And we're halfway through the bottle, right? So that's an awful lot of oxygen contact. Mm. Now, people always say, shall I open the wine to let it breathe? And bear in mind, unless you've poured a glass out of that bottle, there's not much breath going on because there's just that little, area up in the neck of that bottle that's right. Contacting oxygen. So really to let a bottle breathe, maybe pour a glass each and let there be oxygen. But subsequently for, day upon day upon day, you're going to get a lot of oxygen attacking the acidity and also usually the fruitier aspects of the wine. But Rieslings, because of that, durability, the acidity, again, some of the sugar content, especially with sweeter Rieslings. You can open a sweeter Riesling than the one we're having right now. And if it's a good one with acidity and sugar, you can walk away and come back 2 weeks later, and it will still be delicious and drinkable. Subsequently, right now in Germany, it's harder and harder to find these places, but there are places where there is dessert level Riesling, so a lot of residual sugar, a lot of acidity, that are over 100 years old, over 200 years old, that are still drinkable. Are they oxidized? Yes, they're oxidized, but they're still vibrant. It's crazy.
So what would you match this up with food wise
I love this for basic honey, I need Chinese takeout tonight, because it's really very versatile with a lot of that.
This is terrific.
It's very good.
It's delicious. This is made, I love this. So winemakers come in all shapes and sizes. So this, the estate's name is August Kessler, but they make Rieslings and Pinot Noirs. And Pinot Noir is a very, very common grape in Germany for a red, because it likes the same kind of cool weather. But the Pinots at this estate are made by an older gentleman. and the Rieslings are made by a guy who's a little bit younger than me. He is as German as they come, you know, tall, blonde, blue eyes, but his hair was all spiky. He's a bassist in a heavy metal band. That's his thing.
Is.
Of course he is. It was awesome. And I remember this, great handshake. Like, I play bass, you know, it was awesome. But yeah, a rock star with a rock star wine and really cool. And they put their...
I'm Gunther, I've met your band for you.
Oh, my. No, you know what's funny? So this is the truth.
Are you not to be liking this?
I have met more Germans with better English than Americans.
Oh, sure.
Oh,
sure.
My gosh, it's embarrassing sometimes.
It's like when I've had...
And better French and better.
I've had exchange students from Sweden,
yeah,
who speak better English than most of the people at school.
It is tremendous. Yeah. And he was no exception to the rule. I was like, my God, man, you could be, you know, walking down the street anywhere and, you know... But of course, his passion is also for wine, and he makes just killer wine and gets paid to do it. So why not?
Life is good.
Life is not so bad. And so getting back to the focus, these guys put their higher level stuff in synthetic closures. They're not going to risk their wines, and it's a really interesting thing. So next week we're going to do the Stelvin, which is a glass enclosure top, and then we're going to round out things with a synthetic cork and a Zork, which is a trademarked Australian synthetic cork. So we're gonna run the gamut. We're gonna have some fun for the remaining three Tuesdays. So I hope everybody joins in. So
when he said Zork, I thought we had Michael Winslow back for a second,
right?
There we go, Eric.
We got 3 weeks to get him.
There you go. I'm sure we could do it. Thanks, Eric.
All righty.
Feel better.
I will.
Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese, and Crossroads Beverage Company as well, in Message in the Bottle. We'll have it up on the website a little later on tonight, and of course, check it out on their website as well, so you get all the information you need to be a smart consumer. It's 5:33 here on Downtown. Still ahead, the good.